So I've gotten some questions about the topic, pecans. It's interesting, isn't it? I'll explain. Some of you may know, but I am currently serving time. I am the PE teacher at Wiregrass Christian Academy for elementary school. No, I'm kidding. I enjoy that opportunity. It's been great. I've had a good time. Interact with kids a few hours a week, and I get to watch them and observe them. And one thing I saw, if you've ever been on the playground, you'll notice there's two pecan trees out there, right next to the playground. And some of the pecans fall on the playground. Some of them fall outside the fence. There was one particular day I watched both the first grade and the kindergarten class for the whole time, basically, for a long time. A lot of the kids were reaching through the fence as far as they could reach to get pecans. They'd go and find sticks and try to reach through the fence and rake the pecans to them, wanting those pecans just out of reach. But if they would have turned around and looked at the playground, it was littered with pecans. I thought to myself, you know, that's a lesson that a preacher right there. Those pecans were just out of reach. They were ignoring all the pecans all around them, wanting those just on the other side of the fence. They could have had some a lot easier, of more abundance, but they wanted those pecans. And how often do we do the same thing? We find ourselves looking everywhere but where we are for what we really want, for what we think we want, really. Some people in here would look at me and say, man, Brett's old. Some people would look at me and say, man, Brett's young. Today, I am older than I've ever been, but I'm also as young as I'm ever going to be. But in my 32 years of life, I have learned something. A few things, actually, but the one particular that's important right now. Rarely is the grass greener on the other side. And if it is, there's still weeds. We are constantly absorbed into what we just can't quite get to. We fail to just look around us and appreciate what's in front of us. So pecans. This whole idea was inspired by pecans. And I get to watch these young people play on the playground. I learned lessons from kids for years now. I've learned lessons from kids. And some more lessons have popped into my brain from watching these kids particularly chase or reach out for these pecans. The first lesson I want to look at that I've learned from them this morning is found in James chapter 4. We're going to be looking at verses 13 through 15. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. So the first lesson I want to look at this morning is embrace the moment. Embrace every moment. I have the pleasure of raising a son named James and a daughter named Ada. And I have the pleasure of a wife reminding me that every moment is precious. She's told me time and again, reminded me time and again that while I'm pressing to try to get to the next step, it's always the next progression in childhood. She reminds me to enjoy these moments we have now because my children aren't getting younger. And each moment that goes by is one that's gone. So instead of pressing towards the next thing, maybe I should embrace the moment that I'm in. We often forfeit the present opportunities, the present blessings, the present moments in preparing and even obsessing about the future. We really do. Life is so short. There's so many things in our life that are just really amazing and astounding. Why do we spend so much of our time in pursuit of things that are just out of reach? We don't know what the future is going to hold. We don't know what our life's going to look like in just a few moments, much less years and years down the road. While I think preparing yourself is important, I do think preparing for the future is important. I don't think it should be something that causes us to neglect the present, to neglect the now, to neglect the opportunities presented with what's in front of us. We also sacrifice the present, the moment, fail to embrace it because we reminisce about the past. You know, one of the signs of a dying church is one that keeps referencing and reminiscing and focusing on the good old days, talking about all the great things that went on 20, 30 years ago. That's a sign of a dying church because they've forgotten about the moment and forgotten about what's coming up. Too many times we look back at what we've had or the things we've done and long for those times gone by. In doing so, we miss out on what we have right now at this moment. Andrew Baines Bernard once said, "I wish there was a way to know you were in the good old days before you've actually left them." And that's right. There's a great chance that one day we'll look back on something happening right now in these few moments of our lives, and we'll think of them, reference them, reminisce about them as the good old days. How dare we miss out on it because we're too focused on the future or the past? Embrace the moment. Live in the now. Be thankful for the opportunities and the blessings we have right now, and utilize what's right here with us at this moment. Stop reaching for the gate through the fence. Stop reaching for the pecans that are just out of reach. Hold on to what's right there. Each moment presents opportunities for us to do things we need to do. Embrace the moment. Next is found in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. Please turn there with me. This is my favorite one right here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 6 through 10. "Now there is great gain in godliness with contentment, for we brought nothing into the world, and we cannot take anything out of the world. But if we have food and clothing, with these we'll be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains." You know, the point there for your outline is enjoy simplicity. I think that's something we don't value enough, is the simple things. I grew up in the country in Greenville, Alabama, on a dirt road. I could walk out at night and see the sky lit up with stars. I go to college in a big city in Montgomery. And one thing, it's funny, when you live in a big city, stars disappear. Did you know that? At night, they're not nearly as bright. Not near as many stars in the sky because of the lights in the city. I later lived in Spanish Fort, which is just across the bay from Mobile. You would think that being that far away from Mobile wouldn't cause it, but it does. The stars still weren't quite as bright as they were when I was growing up. Then I moved to New Brockton, the big city of New Brockton. Did y'all know that lights just automatically cut off at 9 o'clock? No. I can walk outside my front yard now, and I can look up and see stars. Beautiful, beautiful stars. And as a kid growing up, seeing them all the time, I kind of took them for granted. And then I missed them for a few years. Now I can see them again. They're more beautiful than ever. Simplicity. The fact that there's in this verse, there's a little highlight that's often overlooked. We brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of the world. It's interesting to me to highlight that. It's interesting because that makes me realize that the things in this world that I'm utilizing, that I'm using, that I'm experiencing, they're all just borrowed. All of it. Because I can't take it with me. I didn't bring it with me. It belongs in this world. I don't. It's borrowed. And when we realize that, we think of all the things we strive after, all the things we work for. Paul also tells Timothy, with food and clothing, with these we will be content. If I only had food and clothing. That's it. There's a name for folks like that. We call them homeless. Paul said, with food and clothing, we'll be content. You know, we don't even stress about the necessities in life anymore. We stress about the extras. We stress about things that aren't necessary for us to live. But it causes us stress. We chase after things that aren't really simple when Paul tells us, be content. On a side note, I like to point out to the young folks from time to time, especially those who are about to make the transition into adulthood, please understand this. You cannot expect to leave your parents' roof and then immediately have all the things they have. That's a mistake a lot of young couples make. They get married and they want all the things their parents had. It took a lifetime to build that. Young folks, listen to me. It took a lifetime for them to build that. It's not going to happen overnight. We got to learn to be content with what we have. When asked about a documentary she was in, Pamela Beasley Halpert once said, "I thought it was weird when you picked us to make a documentary. But all in all, I think an ordinary paper company like Dunder Mifflin was a great subject for a documentary. There's a lot of beauty in ordinary things." Isn't that kind of the point? A lot of beauty in ordinary things. Enjoy simplicity. Think of something simple in your life. I think of a smile. That's one thing I'm learning to enjoy with Ada. She smiles. Her happy time's about, lately it's been about 8 o'clock? 8:30? She smiles. She talks a little bit. She cuts up. And then she's hungry all of a sudden. But that smile does so much. Seeing my son run, play, seeing kids reach through a fence to try to get pecans that are just out of reach. Simplicity. Those aren't things I stress about. Well, my kids being happy, yes. Those aren't things that I chase constantly and can't quite get. That's not something I have to pay a bill for just to roll it back for a month. The simple things in life are the ones that bring me the quickest enjoyment. Enjoy simplicity. Number 3, last point on your outline. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. You probably know this verse by heart. You can turn that if you want to, but Romans 12, verse 2 says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." You know, this world, we have a lot of things that impact us all the time. And in this world, we watch people who are affected by their surroundings, who are brought down and dragged down by the surroundings, who are maybe even have a bad experience in life, and it causes unhappiness. You know, one thing I like to tell, you know, especially having coached football, I've dealt with some young men that have anger issues. And it always amazed me, they just get to a point where they just simply cannot control their anger. Someone makes them so angry, they lose their cool, do something they regret, say something they regret, have to serve a punishment of some kind. And it's always such a sad thing to see because they let something else, someone else, make them lose control. You know, the one thing in life we have control of is ourselves and what we do. And so with that in mind, I have discovered the key to happiness. All right, this is a secret in life. Philosophers have gone on years and years and years of writing and talking about what this is, but I got it. Key to happiness is real simple. You know what it is? Just choose to be happy. So number 2, the last point there, number 3, choose happiness. Don't be conformed to this world. Don't let the things around you conform you and decide for you what you're going to be. Choose to be happy. Obviously, bad things happen. We're going to face difficulties. It's going to happen. Regardless, that no matter how good your life is, there's always a down point. Now, your down point, your valley may not be as deep as somebody else's. It may be deeper than somebody else's. But we all have lows in life, no matter how good it is. But I can also tell you, no matter how bad it is, someone else has been there. People are going through the same problems we're going through. One of the harsh realities about low spots in our lives is that it's not unique. We're not different. People have had bad things happen to them for all throughout history. So for us to allow something to drag us down, it's not necessary. Instead of being drugged down and wallowing in our misery, which is an option, by the way, you're allowed to do that, why don't we count our blessings instead? Look at the things we do have. I bet you the opportunities God affords us, the good things, the blessings, I bet they outweigh the bad things significantly. We'll get to one of those blessings in a few minutes for sure that I know outweighs any negative, any bad thing, any sickness. But why be miserable when we can choose to be happy? Don't be conformed. Don't let the world decide for you who you're going to be and what you're going to do. You decide for yourself who you're going to be and the things you're going to do and that you're going to be happy. As I stood there watching children reach for pecans just outside their grasp, I thought, you know, that's a great lesson right there. So often we just want to reach out when we could just look around us and enjoy what's right here, what's easily grabbed, what's easily taken and utilized and kept. And I thought to myself, you know, one thing that's never out of reach, you know, there's never a fence around God's grace. You never have to stick your hand through a fence with a stick and rake God's grace to you. In fact, God's grace doesn't even lay on the ground like a pecan. God's grace is something He's made readily available. He's pursued us with His grace, trying to allow us to escape our own guilt Whatever our low point is in our life, there's nothing low enough to make it worse than how great God's gift is. God's grace is so much greater than anything, any difficulty, any disease, any accident, anything we face. God's grace is better. It's sufficient. And to grab that grace, Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And once we have taken on that faith, once we believe that message of Jesus, we need to act on it then. That's the actual grabbing of the grace. Peter told a crowd in Acts chapter 2 to repent and be baptized for the remission of their sins, and they received the gift of the Holy Spirit. He asked that because they responded to the message of Jesus with pricked hearts, wondering, what can we do now? And so when we hear that word, what Jesus has done for us, the perfect Son of God, the perfect Lamb of God, sacrificing Himself for our sins so that we can have hope, when we hear that message and are pricked in our hearts and ask, what do we do? Peter's already told us, repent and be baptized. We also are to confess our faith. One of the most beautiful scenes in the whole Bible is found in the book of Acts. The Ethiopian eunuch is traveling. He's studying the Bible, and Philip appears to him there in his chariot. He's an official of the queen. And he's studying his Bible, and he's confused by it. And from the point where he was at, Philip then preached to him the word. And hearing about the message of Jesus, he sees water and says, why shouldn't I go ahead and be baptized? And Philip told him, if you believe, you can. The eunuch made that confession that he believed that Jesus is the Son of God. And we need to make that confession with our lives, with our voices. Everything about us should tell people we believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then when we become baptized, our sins are buried in that water grave of baptism, and we come up a new creature. We, at that point, have taken what it was that God's offered us. So this morning, I hope you can evaluate your life. I hope you can take some of these lessons that I've gotten from these young people to embrace the moment, to enjoy simplicity and choose happiness. You know, there's nothing like a smiling child. And those kids out there, no matter what goes on, they're always smiling, always happy. We can be happy too. And ultimately, happiness is found with God. And so, yeah, I told you the key to happiness is to choose to be happy. Well, this morning, I'm asking you to choose God. This morning, if there's something standing between you and your God, I hope that you will get that right. If we can assist you in becoming a Christian, please allow us to do that. We'd love to. The water's ready. If you are a Christian who's wandered away, we'd be happy to help you there as well. If you have a need, please come as we stand and as we sing.